Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello, hello.
We are back.
We are back every week. We keep coming back every single week.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you think people are used to us now? Do you think people are accustomed to us having a new podcast episode every week? Like for the people who don't know us from SiriusXM.
If they don't know us from SiriusXM and they know about the podcast and they're looking forward to it. I find that we have some people that are like faithful listeners. And then there's a lot of people that never heard of us before.
Okay.
But for the ones that know about us, every week.
Yeah. For those, this is your first time listening. Maybe you stumbled upon this podcast for whatever reason. Go back into the archives. We have a new podcast every single week. Next week, you can expect a new podcast.
Yes.
This is kind of our thing.
Yeah.
It's our commitment to our listeners and to the North Star.
And what I'll tell you is if you listen to us every week, bet money.
You might learn something.
Your money situation is going to improve also.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a guarantee. Like, hands down.
Yeah,
we might hurt your feelings. It's a little shade. You might laugh from time to time. We have a joke here or there just to kind of smooth over the tough love sometimes.
Yeah, we also have Tiffany, who's very shady to people
on
a regular basis,
not shady.
Including her co-host.
Not shady. Not shady at all. But okay, we are springing. We are springing today. We are springing. We are officially in spring.
Yes.
I mean,
it's a brutal winter.
Listen.
Lord, it was a brutal winter. We had so much snow this year.
Snow, drama, cold, it was dreary out here. It was dark.
Yeah.
But spring has sprung and I am ready.
It's a new day.
I am ready for spring. I don't know about you. So I read a meme today that I'm aligned with.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if you know, Alan. I imagine that you know. I imagine that most of our listeners have heard the term hot girl summer.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We know about hot girl summer.
Now, I don't think everybody knows exactly what that encompasses, what that completely means, and I'm not going to explain it on this show.
I know what I think when I hear hot girl summer,
okay,
but go
we
on.
Don't need to need everybody just use your own flavor and color of what you think when you think about hot girl summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read a meme that said, I'm down for a warm girl summer. Like, I can't be doing all the recklessness that comes with being a hot girl.
Yeah.
I'm down for some of the antics. I just can't go as far as some of the ladies go. So I am ready for a warm girl summer, me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm ready to be
safer.
Out in these streets responsibly.
That's safer for the world, Tiffany.
Than me to be a hot girl summer.
Or lukewarm would be
lukewarm
even safer.
Lukewarm is just, no, I'm not willing.
Chill girl
nope.
summer.
No, warm. Warm.
Be very safe.
Okay. I'm warm girl summer. I'm definitely down to be in these streets, but I'm down to do it responsibly.
God bless you.
Yes. And the spring has sprung. So warm girl summer is approaching. It's upon us.
Yeah. I'm trying to picture a warm girl summer. So I guess y'all, I don't know. I'm trying to picture.
So
like
we're definitely
going to.
Okay. Warm girl summer versus hot girl summer,
okay,
right? Hot girl summer is. Hot girl summer was like, even though this wasn't a summer event, was like All-Star Weekend that took place in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago. Everybody and their mother was out there in the club with no masks, doing the most, sharing hookahs, sharing bottles, hundreds and hundreds of people on top of each other, no social distancing, just getting it how they live.
U-Haul, a whole nine.
All that. The U-Haul ladies, they were definitely living a...
Okay,
a,
that's hot girl summer.
That's hot girl summer.
So what would be warm girl summer?
Warm girl summer is more like a... a small cookout where we're drinking Prosecco and, you know, we either have our masks and or are vaccinated.
Wow. So somebody's checking at the door?
I'm just saying, like,
masks and vaccines.
We've taken our health into consideration. You know, we're not gathering by the hundreds or thousands, but, you know, we're coming together in groups to have a good time with some alcohol.
Okay.
But not to be irresponsible. And we probably will still get to bed at a reasonable time.
Okay. How does it apply to dating? I know hot girl summer also implies aggressive dating.
Yeah, no, it's the exact opposite. Hot girls, we're not with that relationship. We are dating, but like, it's just for you to take us out.
Warm girl.
So no, hot girl summer, that's what a hot girl summer is. Like, these men, you are not our priority. If you are not taking us out to treat us to a good dime, don't expect any type
you
of commitment. A good time. Don't expect any type of commitment. We might not be nice to you. We might not, you know, that's what they are referring to when it comes to like a hot girl summer.
This doesn't sound nice at all.
Reckless behavior. For the hot girl, you're living your best life. And you can't be worried about the next dude. Okay. Not at least until it starts to get a chill in the air.
Okay.
Warm girl summer is, hey, listen, we're down to meet a nice fella. There's no commitments available, again, until it starts to cool down a little bit. But if you want to invite me to a brunch or...
Starbucks.
Okay. Sure. I'll go.
What about the park and like a six pack of beer?
I don't even know girl's doing that. Nope, no girls.
What kind of summer is that?
I don't know. That's a man's summer. No girls are doing... Okay. A six pack of beer at the park?
Okay.
That's not a woman's idea of a good time.
What about the beach and a bottle of wine?
Okay, that's warm girl summer.
A box of wine.
That's warm. That's definitely warm girl summer, okay? Now, beach and a bottle of tequila. That's hot girl summer.
Okay.
Okay, with no waters to stay hydrated or no sunscreen. That's a hot girl summer. Warm girl summer, we've got sunscreen.
Okay.
We've got water.
Reading
for sure.
Materials.
We've got... alkaline water at that.
Oh my God.
And then wine. Reading materials for sure. Okay. Yes.
All right. Well, I welcome a warm girl summer to all the listeners out
Thank
there.
Thank you. Thank you. And to all our hot girls, just be safe. That's not what we're talking about today, but we are just excited about spring. We are talking about... A thief in the night.
Stealing your money as we speak.
Right now.
Right
while
now.
You're listening.
You might be holding on to your money.
Right now.
But it is slowly...
Walking away.
Yes.
Depreciating in your hands, in your wallet.
Another word for this is inflation.
Inflation.
Yeah, this is a basic building block. This is a basic building block of financial literacy.
Yeah, and I think it's a basic building block that most people don't fully understand. People have an understanding that things get more expensive over time, but they're not completely sure like how inflation works, what the percentages are, when it goes up, when it goes down, expectations, projections, and just the long-term impact and how to fight inflation. You don't just have to let inflation go down in your life. You can fight inflation.
Inflation has been in the news a lot this month. Jerome Powell, your boy, Tiffany.
He's not my boy.
The head of the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
This month has been talking about how inflation is starting to rise, but he's not going to do anything about it. He's going to let it live. He's okay with it.
He's fine with it.
And we're not okay with it.
Yeah.
Like, it's hurting us. Like, the more things get more expensive, the more your money is worth less over time.
Yeah. And I think all of us, or maybe not all of us, but so many people have just become accustomed to it. Like, it's just like, yeah, of course. This is just what happens over time. Like, things are just going to get more expensive. But sometimes things get more expensive faster than other times.
Absolutely.
Right?
And certain things get inflated faster than others.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the definition of inflation. So inflation, textbook definition, is that it's the increase in the price of goods and services over time. Again, it simply means that you have to spend more money to buy a gallon of milk or a loaf of bread or a gallon of gas over time.
And what that means is, as prices rise, your money is worth less.
That's right.
For instance, I remember when I was in high school, gas was 99 cents a gallon.
In the 70s.
Don't do me like that.
60s.
First of all.
70s, 80s.
I am class of 2000 from high school. Okay. I'm just going to put that on the airwaves right now.
Wow.
Okay.
You're dating yourself.
That's fine. I'm comfortable.
So you just had your 20th reunion.
We didn't because of COVID, which let me just, you know what's
She's
funny?
Getting up there.
So I was responsible for our 20-year reunion. I did our 10-year reunion. And just for anybody listening who attended, I did that. Okay. I did that.
That was you.
I did that. That was me. And so therefore I was pushed, forced, because it wasn't welcomed, to be responsible for our 20-year reunion. And we did not have one because of COVID. And now there will not be a rain date in the case that anybody graduated from Franklin High School in the class of 2000. We just missed it. We're going to move on.
Well, you've got 25th and 30th, literally right around the corner.
Potentially.
So you're good.
Or not. But in high school, gas was 99 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
Therefore, a dollar got me a gallon of gas.
So when you were young and they used to deliver milk, how much was that?
First of all, I don't know anything about
a
that.
Milkman.
I've never even...
Or a block of ice. How much did that cost
I've
when you were a kid?
Never even known that was a thing.
Whatever.
Yeah. Was milk delivered to your house? By a person? And where
I'm
did they
about
get it from?
You.
Where would they get the milk from?
This is an age joke.
Okay,
this
I get the age joke, but
this
now I'm
thing.
Curious. Like, I'm being serious. So,
yo, people,
if a person brought milk to your house, where did they get it from? So, like, are they just going to the grocery store on your behalf, or...
Yo, have you heard of people call the refrigerator the icebox? Have you ever heard people say this?
I've heard Omarion sing a song called Icebox,
oh
where
God.
Your heart used to be. I know
okay.
that
right,
very
so,
well.
So let's stick with that same example.
Okay.
Okay, there used to literally be an icebox that you would have to put ice in to keep the whole thing cold.
Like a cooler. Sounds like
it
a cooler.
It was basically like a cooler.
Okay.
And so a company would literally deliver blocks of ice to you door to door every day. And because-
To
in
put
this,
in the cooler.
To put in the ice box. Okay. So you can keep your things refrigerated.
Okay.
Or cool. I won't say refrigerated, but cool. And in the same era, they used to deliver milk.
Help me understand when the ice melts. Where is the ice
then
melting?
Then you got to get more. I'm sure there
Where's
was a system.
Where is the ice melting?
It drips.
Onto the floor?
It drips into a pan. You dump the pan.
Yeah. Omarion's icebox was a lot
yeah.
more
So
where my heart used to be. Do you know that? Do you know that? You. I'm sure you know that song. No?
I know Omarion. I don't know that song.
You don't? That was.
I probably know it. I know.
The video where
I
he was pop locking.
I know
hard.
Touch.
Touch was, see, this was after Touch.
Yeah, I stopped.
After okay.
Touch. Touch.
Well, you should have kept going.
He peaked at Touch. So inflation though, again.
Yeah, so what I was saying was gas used to be 99 cents a gallon.
Icebox.
Now,
were...
I don't know about the icebox unless Omarion's pop locking.
Okay.
But now it's like $2.79 a gallon.
And it's going up.
And it's going up, right? So what that means is what you used to be able to buy for a dollar now costs almost $3. Therefore, your dollar is nowhere near as valuable anymore. Like the gas has become more expensive. That's inflation,
mm-hmm.
right? Your dollar's still a damn dollar. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like inflation does not apply to your currency. It's just applied to
the goods. Yeah. And it's the same quality gas as it was 30 years ago when you were in high school.
Here, you're going to keep going with the age jokes. And then when I come back with the age jokes, it's like, you're being shady. I get
gosh.
Messages on Twitter. You're so mean to Alan.
Yes,
and
she
just
is,
know
by the way.
Where it comes from.
She is.
And then when I let off, then it's like, oh, poor Alan.
Yeah, poor Alan. Because you're a little tough on me. But
listen,
so inflation reduces, another word of saying it is it reduces your purchasing power over time. Because again, that same unit that you're buying just costs more money. Some examples of inflation, because there are certain things that have gone up a lot more than other things. You know what the biggest thing that has been inflated over the last 20 years?
Other than your head.
Oh my God. See what I'm talking about?
I'm just, what is it?
That's an insult.
I mean, it does get larger.
Oh my God.
It's still growing to this day.
Can
and
we...
I'm not talking about your knowledge thereof. I'm just talking about your forehead.
I need to go on Craigslist and
your forehead
find
is...
a new co-host.
Feel free because
okay.
inflation is applied over here as well. And the price is going up
oh
on me
gosh.
As your co-host.
Okay. All right. Well,
get them dollars
well, the
together.
Answer, the actual answer is
housing.
College tuition and
oh,
fees.
You ain't lied.
Over the last 20 years,
Jesus.
Education, higher ed costs 170% more than it did.
But did education get better? Like well, I'm not going to go
yeah,
down this road,
I don't
but
know.
I do think for me personally, I think this is just injustice because we talk about how everyone is deserved an education. We talked about how the opportunity to receive an education is part of closing the wealth gap, but they make it harder and harder for people to be able to get an education and they're not making... You know, they're not adding to the quality of the education that people receive. You know, it's been a while since I've been in college. It's been, you know, about a century since you've been in college.
Oh my
and
God.
I worry that the education that people are getting currently isn't as substantial as the education that we got when we were in school. So this is the one thing that should not be inflated. It should be the same. I personally was thinking more about real estate, but you are absolutely correct. And I think it's unfair. But with that being said, right, like for the parents who think about maybe you went to college and your parents helped pay for college. And now people are looking at you like, how are you not going to pay for your kids to go to college? It's because it's so much more now. It's not as easy. And I think when different generations look to the generations after them and criticize their financial situation, what's not taken into consideration oftentimes is the egregious rate of inflation in a lot of areas. What it took for your grandparents to buy a home is completely different for what it's going to take for you to buy a home. It's buying a car and a variety of other things.
You know how my dad paid for college?
Worked.
The summers.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he worked. And I'm not talking about like working for like Lockheed Martin. Like
right.
My dad worked literally on a farm.
Right.
And earned enough to pay for college at North Carolina A&T class of 1969.
And that's a great education. That's a great school. Now to pay for college, you just have to work for the rest of your damn life. The huge difference.
So the next highest item is medical care.
Mm.
Healthcare.
Now, healthcare has gotten better. 100%
inflation in the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's not right.
Next item, energy. So that's your gasoline.
Light bill.
That's your light bill.
That's what black people call it. We call it the light bill.
Your gas and electric.
Even if it includes gas, it's just called the light bill.
And then after that, it's housing. Housing has gone up by about 62% over 20 years.
Yeah, but these things that we've talked about, these are kind of like the most important foundational things to human life, right? Like we think about, again, education, energy, medical services, and housing, a place to live. So, right, when we talk about inflation, we're not talking about the price of pizza. You know, we're not talking about the price of a sweater. While yes, it applies there, but the areas where it applies the most heavily are the areas oftentimes where wealth is created or depleted.
Do you know what costs less today than it did 20 years ago?
Your opinion.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
She's not going to stop.
You started.
She's really not going to stop.
And now I'm on a roll.
Oh my God.
Keep listening, guys. It's going to get better. Go ahead. What costs less?
Clothing.
Really?
Yeah. Well, clothing's gotten cheaper.
Has it?
Think about it.
Because my closet doesn't feel that way.
Yeah. Well, you got a high-end closet. Like,
I'm surprised to hear that clothing has gotten cheaper.
Clothing
no.
is cheaper.
Think about your parents. I'm sure they used to buy clothes.
Think about how much clothing is disposable now.
True. Very
right?
true.
There's a lot of low-cost clothing being sold today. Where back in the day, you might buy a sweater that's going to last you for like 20 years.
Right.
Today, that sweater might not make it through two seasons.
Very true.
So apparel's going lower. So the idea, though, about inflation is that life's getting more expensive.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to keep up. And you have to think about how inflation is stealing your money and work that into your budget. You've got to work that into really your future planning.
Yeah, because so many people oftentimes think saving is the answer. And you will hear from us and from other people that like saving is not going to be enough to make you wealthy. The primary reason is because of inflation. Like your dollar, your money is becoming less valuable as it sits just in a bank account, not, you know, making any money, not working on your behalf. And so, again, if you save $20,000, right, with the intention of maybe you save $20,000 with the intention of using it for a down payment for a home one day, but you don't end up purchasing a home for 10 years. What you would have gotten with that $20,000 down payment 10 years ago is going to be completely different. Now, the $20,000 remains the same, but your ability to get what you once wanted changes completely.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And then certain cities are more expensive than other cities. What's the, I would ask you a question, but I know you're going to say something crazy.
Feel free. No, okay. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm professional.
All right. Top three most expensive cities to live in the United States of America. Go.
New York.
Okay.
For sure. I'm thinking like Los Angeles area. And then I'm going to like Greenwich, Connecticut.
Okay. So New York's number one. Los Angeles is number 13.
13?
And Greenwich, Connecticut is not on the list.
Lies.
Not on the top, in the top 15. So the reason why we're highlighting these cities, and by the way, so the top three cities are New York, Honolulu, the Bay Area, and then again back to New York is Queens, Boston, Seattle, DC. The reason why we're listing these cities is that a lot of times the choice of where you want to live,
yes,
impacts inflation.
For and sure.
It impacts the amount of money you need to be able to make to live there. It impacts the cost of real estate, the cost of housing. And so sometimes you got to think about where you want to live because of the cost of living. And sometimes we need to make some different decisions based off that, especially in the era of COVID, where a lot of folks can work from home and you don't have to live in the same city as your employer.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I hope people have really picked up on, or at least have become more open-minded to in COVID. Like at one point you needed to live in these major metropolitan areas because that's where the good jobs are. Now in COVID, so many more companies are open to remote workers. You no longer have to live in those metropolitan areas and you can still keep these high paying jobs. You can live somewhere else where the cost of living or inflation is lower, and you can have a better quality of life and you have more available income by living in a place that's not as heavily impacted by inflation, right? But you can still keep these great jobs. So if that's not something that you've thought about, like if you've been tied to New York City for the last 20 years because that's where your job is, you know good and well at this point, you can consider moving. You can work remotely. And then all that New York City income could be applied to your lower cost living. So we are talking about inflation, the thief in the night, the thing that's deteriorating your dollar right now as it's in your pocket. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back.
Yes.
We are still talking about inflation. So before we went to break, we talked about the highest cost cities to live in. What are some of the lowest cost cities to live in?
Okay. What do you think?
Okay.
Take a guess. Top or bottom three lowest cost cities. And we're thinking about major metro areas.
Okay. Because I was getting ready to say, I don't know all these little small towns. I'm sure deep in a Mississippi somewhere, okay? I don't know too many Mississippi cities, but a Mississippi.
Okay.
I'm thinking a Louisiana, somewhere in Louisiana. And then I don't know anything about the Midwest. I don't know what's happening there. So I've got to skip over it. But I'm going to throw in like a deep South Carolina somewhere.
Okay. All right. I think you're on to something
okay.
there, Tiffany.
Help me out.
My list is a little different. I think my list has a certain cap on the number of people that have to live in that city. So I don't literally have any city in Mississippi on my list.
Okay.
But the lowest three major metropolitan cities in terms of cost of living, El Paso, Texas, Lexington, Kentucky, Wichita, Kansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, Memphis, Tennessee, Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, you know, again, you hit it on the head. It is in the South and the Midwest.
Did you ever watch that documentary, Gang Banging in Little Rock? I'm being serious.
A while ago? Like, this is not new, right? This
was, no, it was like a long time ago.
Yeah, I think I might have seen it back in those days.
Maybe it's on Amazon Prime. I'm going to try to pull that up.
I think I got that at Blockbuster. They had that at
probably,
Blockbuster?
Probably, like, yeah. It was like that era. Yeah, it's that era for sure. Yeah. That's probably why the cost of living is so low, because they're still gangbanging in Little Rock.
Yeah.
Or that was bad PR and people just...
Are you just going to diss our Little Rock listeners? We have a strong base in Little Rock.
I didn't have anything negative to say about Little Rock. Somebody made a movie about y'all's town and put y'all on blast. That has nothing to do with me. I did see it and I'd like to watch it again if it's available.
You know what? Another city that's on the list kind of in the middle, it's a sleeper, Baltimore. Would you believe?
Lowest cost?
Not lowest, but it's in the lower ranks. Like Baltimore, the rent in Baltimore is less than half the rent in New York City. It's 45%.
That, anybody can say that. Like the rent anywhere is damn near half of what's in New York City.
But I'm saying it's a lot. It's a sleeper. Like there's some major, some big size cities that are have a low cost of living, relatively speaking.
I don't know. I mean, Baltimore is one of my favorite cities. Baltimore is a city that I consider home. So I don't do any Baltimore slander. But the cost of living to me is very fair. I will say that. You can have a really good quality of life in Baltimore for not a lot of money compared to, again, like a New York City where you need to have a very significant income to have a good quality of life.
Great. So let's talk about inflation. Like, what's the number? Like, what's we gave some really extreme examples. Education, almost 200% more than it used to be. But the average for inflation is about 2%. Like that's the target that the Federal Reserve has a target for when they'll get involved and start doing things to try to fight inflation. So if you assume that things get more expensive by 2% every year, you need to make sure your wages are kind of keeping up.
Right.
You also want to invest. Like you've got to be able to fight this inflation.
Yeah. And I think that's, there's the, I think you said two really good things that we need to touch on. So first of all, like you have to make sure your income is growing at that rate. Like, I don't know about you guys, but when you hear 2% inflation on an annual basis, that's meaningful.
Yeah.
5 years, that's 10% increase in the cost of living.
Oh yeah.
Right now, is your pay reflecting that? And do you just expect, like your employer is not, doesn't think about inflation. It's not their job to think about inflation other than, you know, what's imposed by minimum wage hikes. Like they're not out here talking about, oh, next year you get your 2%. Like, no, you have to continue to make progress or get raises or promotions or advance your career so that your income is outpacing inflation. But if you don't, like a job that was once suitable for your way of living will not be one day if you stay in that same place. So you always have to be mindful of beating inflation in a number of different ways. And one of them, again, is through progress and growing in your career.
One of the big social items that's talked about a ton today is minimum wage. I mean, think about how much things are more expensive and yet the minimum wage has not kept up. Other things that are talked about, you know, we talked about college education, like it should not cost so much money to get educated.
Right.
And education is still one of those keys out of poverty, a key to a better life.
Right. But I don't want you guys to think that inflation is like, oh, it's just a little bit, just a little couple pennies here and there. It's not a couple pennies.
No,
like it's
up.
Very, very meaningful. And even more so, you can fight it. Like there are so many ways to fight it. Like if you just take it sitting down or ignore it or act like it's not real or act like it doesn't have an impact on you, you are going to be screwed. But if you take a stance and you're mindful of it, and again, you're advancing your career to make sure your income outpaces inflation and you are investing your money and getting returns at a rate that far exceeds inflation, then you are winning. There are ways to win for sure. You do not have to take this L lying down. Honestly, all you really do is have to get up and take charge and make decisions, and you can beat inflation.
You know what inflation item really hurt my heart the most? Pizza. Remember, you could get like a
slice
of
pizza for a dollar. In New York, you can.
But the quality of pizza is crap. Like I eat pizza regularly. Today, to get like enough pizza to satisfy me, it's like $12, $10.
But today, it's got to be brick oven, right? It's got to be all types of things. In New York, you still can get a dollar slice easy.
But that, have you had that dollar slice?
Nah, that's not for me.
Yeah,
no.
That dollar
I'm
slice.
I'm on the brick oven side of things.
The crust is like paper. I believe they use ketchup and American cheese.
Don't
like,
do them like
no,
that.
No, I'm telling
Don't
you,
do
it,
them
it's
like
no,
that.
No good. But you know who inflation hurts the most? Retirees.
Yeah.
Like if you're on a fixed income, meaning you have the same amount coming in every single month, whether that be from a pension,
Social Security,
or any kind of check that comes in.
Right.
Right. Like if you're getting a fixed amount every month, even if you're invested and you're in CDs at a bank and the same amount's coming in every month, but your cost is going up every year, your medicine, if you're renting, your rent might be going up. It puts you in a pinch if you're retired.
Yeah, for sure. And so I'm glad you brought up CDs because oftentimes people reach out to us and they say, you know, I don't know how comfortable I am with investing. I don't know if I trust the market. I just put my money in CDs, right? And oftentimes the interest rate on CDs is less than inflation.
Yeah, no, it is. It is now.
And
that's
so
for sure.
Like your CDs ain't really helping you, bro. Like, it's not really doing anything for you. It's not even about a risk. Like, you're not beating inflation. And at a bare minimum, the most that you want to do with your money, with your income or any type of dollar that you've earned, you want to be able to at least beat out inflation.
So let's talk about investing and other ways that you can fight inflation. Because, you know, in that example, there's a person out there who's amassed a lot of cash. And they're so scared of losing it.
It's under their bed. So some's under the bed. It's in my closet.
Some's in a savings account. They probably have 3 or 4 savings accounts at different banks to maximize their FDIC.
That's their diversification.
They might have a couple CDs.
Being at Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Chase, that does not make you diversify.
It really doesn't. And what ultimately happens is that money's losing value.
Yeah.
And that's why we got to talk about investing as one of the ways to fight inflation. Because again, the person that wins from inflation is an investor. And I'll tell you why. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, imagine you own stock in Walmart. And I'm just picking Walmart out the sky. And things get more expensive. So what does Walmart do? They raise their prices. So if you own the stock and inflation goes up and Walmart raises their prices, that means that if you're a stockholder, that your stock is going to go up. Like your company that you invest in is going to make more profit. They'll pay more in dividends over time. So stocks are a great way to fight inflation.
I don't know if Walmart was a good example, though.
Okay, I'll give you another.
Because their whole campaign is rollback. They roll back the dollars.
Yeah, but stuff is more expensive at Walmart. When's the last time you've been to Walmart, by the
way? Lord.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It's been a while.
So you don't know, but Walmart's gotten...
It's getting expensive at Walmart?
Not expensive.
Just
pricier.
Pricier. Than it used to be.
I'll give you another example then. Owning real estate as a landlord.
Exactly, yeah.
Great way to fight inflation.
Yeah.
The reason why is that if you think about a lease typically has either an escalator, either annually or every couple of years where the rent goes up.
Right. And so for a lot of people who are renting apartments, even renting commercial spaces, but I will use the example of just renting an apartment, you know, every time that it's time for you to renew your lease, there is a increase in your rent payment, right? And that's that annual escalator. For anybody who's leasing a space for commercial usage or retail, you know that built into your lease from day one, they let you know every year your rent is going to increase by a certain percentage. And that is inflation.
Absolutely. And if you're renting, inflation's hurting you. But if you own, then it helps you.
For sure.
Because you're benefiting from those higher rents over time. You also, in real estate, benefit from the appreciation of the real estate over time. Like, there, on average, real estate goes up by 3-5% a year.
Yeah. There was someone on our Twitter who, when we talked about don't sell grandma's house, they said that, you know, they had inherited real estate in their family and someone sold it for $12,000.
And now it's worth
like $150,000, right? And so appreciation is a part of inflation. And so to Alan's point, if you have assets that benefit from inflation, appreciation over time, you are winning. That is a way of winning for sure.
You know who else wins in inflation?
The government.
Sure.
Okay.
No.
Entrepreneurs.
They don't. Borrowers. Think of it this way. I borrow money from you. I promise to pay back a certain amount every month. The dollars that I'm giving you every month are getting less and less valuable as I pay them out.
But there's interest.
There's interest, yes. But again, today you can get a mortgage. The average 30-year mortgage is 3%. I'm seeing folks getting mortgages for 2-2.5%. If you've got a fixed rate mortgage, your payment is the same, but the dollars you're paying out are worth less money. And so borrowers really benefit. So again, thinking about real estate, one of the values of having a home, even if you have a mortgage, is that, you know, your payment is the same every year, but eventually you'll pay it off.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing to really hone in on. So there was, you know, I haven't been a homeowner for a very long time. I was a longtime renter, gladly by choice. And people used to come down on me all the time. You're just throwing your money away. You're just doing all these other things. And I used to, you know, aside from saying, get out of my face. The one thing that did stick for me, because I never felt like I was throwing my money away. But the one thing that did stick for me is that as a homeowner, no matter what happens in this world, no matter inflation or whatever the case is, I will always know what my mortgage payment is.
Mm-hmm.
It will stay the same no matter if I make more money, make less money. Again, if inflation, you know, grows substantially, I always have this number that I know I can rely on that won't increase versus rent that, again, for me, every single year, even if I made a 5-year commitment, like every single year, my rent increased And it was definitely more than 2%. And so just having that change of it, just that is one of those things that is the thief of wealth, to be honest with you, because your expenses are growing no matter what your current circumstance is. So even if your income is not growing, you know, no matter what happens, your expenses are growing, just standing still, not getting anything new, not doing anything different.
Yeah. Yeah. When I think back to my first home purchase, I bought my house in 2001. My mortgage at the time was a lot for me, and it was like $1,500 a month. I had a 4-bedroom home, and eventually I made more money, and it was like a low cost for me. Like, it was like, oh, that's not that bad. And when I compare what it would cost by the time I moved out 20 years later, if I wanted to rent a home, I would have easily paid double. I'd be paying $3,000, $3,500 a month to rent that same house where my mortgage was $1,500 for 20 years.
Yeah. When I was in college, me and my college roommate, we had an apartment. I went to Morgan State, so I was in Baltimore, and we had an apartment that was downtown Baltimore in like a very posh neighborhood, very walkable, like the safe, nice, touristy side of Baltimore. And our rent was $900 a month. And this was like a 2-bedroom, brand new, all upgraded apartment. It was a large size. It was really, really nice, huge windows, tall ceilings. And we moved out because they were turning the apartments into condos. And I remember the price they were asking for this apartment at the time to sell. It was $150,000 for this, again, brand new, elaborate, downtown Baltimore, near the harbor, walkable, beautiful neighborhood condo. And we were like, $150,000.
That's a lot.
You know what I mean? And like, we didn't buy it because, again, we were just roommates. We, you know, so it didn't make sense for, well, we didn't think it made sense for us to buy it. I looked back at that condo maybe like 2 years ago to see how much it cost.
How much?
$450,000.
So you would have tripled your
$450,000.
Yeah. That's got to sink in for people a little bit. Real estate is going up. The value is going up. If you buy real estate, you're paying the same amount every year while your property is appreciating over time, versus renting where your rent is just going up over time.
Right.
Like, it's a major way to fight inflation, owning real estate. Investing is the other big one that we talked a ton about.
Yeah.
Investing isn't just about risking your money. Like, investing is also fighting that risk of inflation. But we should talk about some non-investment things that you can do to fight inflation.
For sure. So my favorite one.
Okay.
I think we've done a couple of shows on this the last couple of weeks.
We sure have.
So you really don't have any excuses. Make more money.
Yeah.
Bring in more money. Mm-hmm. You know, like, to me, that means a number of different things. That could be, you know, asking for a raise on your job. That could be, you know, getting a promotion, getting a new job.
Earning a promotion.
Instead of asking for it. Because you're not going to get one every year. You know what I mean? It may mean switching careers. It may mean going back to school, investing in yourself so that you are now eligible for a higher income. It means all of those things. It could also mean a side hustle, becoming an entrepreneur, doing some extra work on the weekends, at night, finding ways where you can bring more money into the house legally, so that, again, it offsets inflation, it offsets the cost of living. But making more money, I think, for Alan and I, is the most obvious thing that oftentimes gets completely overlooked. People get real creative when it comes to things like, if I just hide this money and then don't acknowledge the taxes on this, and like, just find a way to make more money. Like, just make some more money. There are a number of different ways. Again, I think we just did 3 shows on how to make more money. They are out there. You don't always need money to make more money, but one of the best ways to beat that 2% annual increase from inflation is to bring in more than 2% every single year.
Yeah.
You want to make more money, just legally bring more money into your household.
And that could include going back to school. It could include taking a certification. It could be switching careers. It could be networking and being friendly. Like, a lot of times people don't realize, like, you can make more money by just having good professional relationships.
Yeah, it could mean the things that you are already doing, you stop doing them for free. You make everybody's birthday cake. You know, you're always catering cookouts.
I got to charge you now.
You know what I mean? Now, and that's not a bad thing. You are a business. You are providing a product that people are willing to pay for. And so it could mean that maybe you're really great at helping people clean and organize their homes. There's a huge market for that. You are now charging for that. It's a number of ways for you to make money. You don't have to make millions and millions of dollars, but you have to bring in enough money to offset income and to grow some wealth.
Yeah, and if you can effectively raise your income more than inflation every year,
come on,
while also trying to keep some of your costs fixed, you're now creating wealth over time.
There you go.
That's why we're talking about inflation today, because I don't think enough of us think about that. Like, so many people are like, look, I don't want to take a risk. I don't want to take a chance. But like, your money is evaporating right now as we speak.
And I will tell you one of the values of bringing in extra income. So many people are like, I would invest if I had the extra money. Right. And we're talking about how investing is one of the primary ways to be able to beat inflation and to create wealth for yourself and for your family. Primary way. So bringing more income now gives you that opportunity to use that money to invest. And now, again, not only are you beating inflation, but you are creating wealth for yourself. Your money is working for you. Your money is working while you sleep. And I think that's something that we all want for ourselves. So, stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North
Star. Hi, this is Donnie Rose, Chief Content Editor here at the North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at the North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world. Momentum.
We are back.
Yes.
We're still talking about inflation.
Inflation.
The thief in the night.
Stealing your money.
Y'all are letting somebody rob you.
Blind.
Blind, and you're not doing anything about it.
Nothing about it.
Okay, but if somebody tries to steal some gum from you, steal a dollar from you, you want to fight. Gum. You know what I mean? But no matter what, every day, every year, every month, somebody is stealing from you, and you just want to take it lying down. Why?
You'll make a Facebook post if you go and buy something for $19.99 and they don't give you the penny back at the cash register.
Are people posting that on your Facebook feed? Because I've never heard this as an issue. I've never heard this complaint.
Give me my change.
Do we even have change anymore? I know, like, in COVID, we were running out of change. Do we have change anymore? I think.
There's still change. And there's Facebook posts about this.
Your friends are cheap.
They're petty.
You're petty.
I do have some petty friends. This is a fact.
Okay. All right. Petty friends. But your petty friends also, if they are worried about this penny, they damn sure need to be worried about inflation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're breaking down a lot of ways that you can fight inflation. A lot of them were steeped in investments.
Yeah.
Some were based on lifestyle choices, like where you want to live, buying a home versus renting. But let's keep this idea of non-investment things. Let's talk about some more things you can do. I've got a great one. What about bartering?
Do people even know what barter means? Yeah. So in your demographic, I think barter was like a common term. I think you need to explain what bartering
means. You should do this thing, but maybe just don't call it barter because it does sound old school.
Yes.
Like you're going to walk the plank after. Yeah. Bartering is just trading services for services. I'll give you an example. Like, you know, babysitting. How about I babysit your kid one night? You babysit my kid the next night.
Now no one's paying for a babysitter.
And you're fighting inflation because inflation impacts babysitting costs.
How much does babysitting cost now, Adiz? When's the last time you had a babysitter?
Yeah.
And is it like an hourly rate?
Did you ever babysit?
I sure damn did.
How much did you charge?
So, interestingly enough, I bartered for my babysitting.
Okay.
So okay.
What'd you get in exchange?
So the woman that I babysat for was my hairdresser.
Mm.
And this was in college, right? And so in order for me to be able to get my hair done every 2 weeks for free, once a month, I had to babysit her kids.
Okay.
Right. That was a bomb barter. My hair was always tight.
Yeah. Plus, you have a lot of head, so.
Listen, whatever. I do have a lot of hair, for sure. I have a lot of hair, and hopefully you'll be able to say that in the next 10 years. But, you know, again, right. I bartered for my babysitting.
So let's mathematically break that down. So how long did you babysit in one evening? How long was it?
Probably like 3 to 4 hours.
Okay, let's say it's 4 hours. What did a hairstyle cost if you had to pay money back then?
So it could have been anywhere from like $80 to $100.
Back then?
Yep, for every 2 weeks. So I got 2 hair appointments a month.
Okay.
Okay,
and
so.
So you did 1 night of babysitting, gave you 1 hair appointment?
1 night of babysitting got me 2 hair appointments.
Oh, you were balling then.
Balling.
Yeah, because that mathematically works out to $50 an hour.
Okay.
And I damn sure don't pay that for babysitting. But all right, most people who babysat 20 plus years ago might have been getting $7 to $10
Lies.
An hour.
I wouldn't have did it for no seven. And I would know.
Okay.
I thought babysitting that in my mind, babysitting right now should be around $20 an hour.
Yeah, when I was paying for babysitters, my range was $12.50 to $25 an hour, somewhere in that range. And my kids, you know, when they were younger, I paid more. As they got older, I paid less. That's right. Why I'm giving you that range.
And you also pay for dinner, don't you? Isn't that part of it?
Yeah, I'll buy pizza. I mean, exactly. I'm not taking them to Sizzler.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, here's some money for y'all to order dinner.
Yeah.
So you get a free meal. I was getting a free meal.
Yeah.
All the house snacks.
Yeah.
And 2 hair appointments.
Yeah.
I was winning.
So bartering. Trading a service for another service.
Okay.
There's no inflation because there's no money exchanged. Imagine I cut your grass and you...
do your taxes. I'm just saying. That's a good
Let's
barter.
Come up with some other strange ones. Okay. Imagine I fixed your car and you...
Make you dinner. That's good.
That sounds really sweet.
That's sweet.
Do you want to have dinner with your mechanic?
No, I'm
though?
Not eating dinner with you. I made you dinner and I left a plate outside.
That sounds like a date. No.
No, no, no,
In
no.
your kitchen no. type of.
You while you When you leave, Sharif, here's your plate. That's how that goes. Maybe I'm a great cook.
Okay.
There's a lot of people. First of all, there's a lot of people out here who was out here doing an oil change on your auntie's car because you know she makes really good food, or, you know, can I come over and get a plate? I help that little plumbing situation you had outside, or whatever the case is. I feel like that's normal. But bartering, I think it's not something we take as seriously. Like, we're making jokes right here, but I think it's something that should be taken seriously. When I started my first business, I did bartering in the beginning. I will tell you that because there were other things that I needed that I did not have the money to pay for. But those people who could provide those resources also needed what I had to offer. And so I even bartered one time to learn a new skill. I said, listen, I will offer you my services, but I need you to teach me everything that you know in your field so that I can learn how to make money in that area.
Yeah. That's like an apprenticeship or an internship, an unpaid. Like, it's an opportunity to learn, right? That's not on the sheet, but I like it.
But to your point, bartering works because you are not using the depreciating currency that exists for the transaction.
Absolutely. Yo, back in the day, remember when they had the BP oil spill? I spent a lot of time in New Orleans and out in the parishes where they were really heavily impacted. And what people didn't realize is that there were a lot of communities that did not even use money inside their communities. Like, people would fish and they would buy stuff with baskets of fish to buy gas, to buy this and that. And, you know, it's old school. But it can be its own unit of currency, using your services, using your own labor to do things for people. And we've got to get back to doing that. Another thing you can do to fight inflation, we talked about how energy inflation is one of the highest things that impacts the cost of living. Buy a car that's good on gas.
I don't know, because I feel like gas and energy are both impacted by inflation, and cars go need one or the other.
But you are a person who always buys a car that's good on gas.
So. For sure. If anybody doesn't know that about me, while I like luxurious things, I do not like spending a lot of money on gas. And so I've had a luxury car in the past, and my biggest grievance was having to buy premium gas. I don't know. I will let me not say that. It's going to be very difficult for me to ever purchase another car that requires premium gas. I like cars that are very, very good on gas that don't require a lot of maintenance. So, okay, that helps a little bit. That helps okay. a little bit.
All right. On that note, why don't you drive better?
Why don't you mind your business? I drive how I want to drive, and I think people have the right to drive how they want to drive.
This is real advice, crazy.
This is not real advice. I'm not fighting inflation by changing the way that I drive. Like, listen, for a lot of people, driving is being in the car is a place of peace for them to just live how they want to live. Y'all do what y'all got to do out here. Drive them cars.
Would you believe that you spend 20 to 30% more gas to drive at 70 miles per hour than at 50 miles per hour?
No, I wouldn't believe it. And I'm still going to drive. I got to drive somewhere this weekend. Guaranteed I'm going 70 miles per hour. So
you just don't care about inflation, and that's fine.
I care in a variety of other ways. You can't do all things, okay? Just do the ones that you can do, and the driving, that one is, I'm just going to leave that where
it's at. How about this? Why don't you walk somewhere instead of driving your car?
Sure. I'm down with walking. I'm down with riding a bike. I'm down for all of those things for sure. So, yes, I will walk sometimes. But when I drive, I'm getting to it. Just know, pedal to the metal on that.
Carpooling?
Nah. I'm not the carpooler.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not the carpooler. Carpooling means like three or more people at a time. What does
it could be two?
Yeah, I'm fine with two. I'm not doing more than two. I'm not. And if you're not ready to go when I'm ready to go, you're going to be short.
Okay. What about using an app to find the cheapest gas? There's a website called gaspricewatch.com, also gasbuddy.com. You put in your zip code and they'll tell you where the cheapest gas is.
Now, if you're Tiffany Hawkins, you don't need an app because I always know where the cheap gas is for sure. I will drive 5 to 10 miles to get to the less expensive gas station. I will drive past several gas stations because I know where the inexpensive gas stations are, but I'm down for that.
Okay. What about keeping your car maintained and tuned? A poorly maintained car spends 25% more on gas.
I think you need to get off me and my car a little bit. Like everything, we're not going to fight inflation with my car, okay? Like I feel like it's a little bit much on the cars.
Here's one more then, since we're on cars.
Okay.
Don't let your car idle. Don't sit there with the car running, sitting still.
My car is like one of these cars that shuts off when you're not moving. So I think I'm all right.
Did you know that idling wastes a quart of gas every 15 minutes? A whole quart. I don't even know how big a quart is relative to gallons, but that's a lot. That's a lot. So we've broken down a ton of ways to fight
some
inflation.
Some more impactful than others, okay? I think we have to admit.
Some that Tiffany cares more about.
If you need to sit in the car with the car on because you need some heat, do what you got to do, okay? But don't tell me, hey, listen, guess what? I don't idle my car, but you're not willing to invest, or you're not looking into purchasing a home, or you're not looking into making more money. At that point, I don't really care. Like, idle the car. It don't make a difference. It doesn't really make a difference. But I think we've talked about some really substantial ways to fight inflation. I hope that we've driven home the fact that you can fight inflation. There are so many people who fight inflation and are doing an amazing job. So you do not have to take this laying down. You don't get to act like it's not happening anymore. We've taught you the things that you can do about it. So there's no excuse.
Absolutely. So thanks for listening. We hope you keep listening. Stream us. Tell your friends about us. Go to thenorthstar.com and consider becoming a member because your contributions help pay for stuff like this.
Yeah. Also, we've got some bonus content on thenorthstar.com. So check that out as well. Shout out to Sean, Ray, Willis, and the rest of the crew. And we'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Doomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.